Hello, everybody. Thank you for stopping by. My name is Jason Scott. How many of you are here actually to see me, or how actually to see my speech, and how many of you are just here because you're tired? Okay. Anyway, my name is Jason Scott. I run a place called textfiles.com, which is a website dedicated to, well, its official mantra is we are the official place for bulletin board system texts of the 1980s. Now, to make that work, if you used one of these, this was that era. Basically, what happened was, by its very nature, bulletin board systems had a lot of text files on them where people traded, and the nature of the distribution channel was that you had single-line phones, and so basically it was very slow as compared to today. So as a result, there were a lot of files that people kept, but when the internet came along, the real push was for things that were aimed already up on FTP sites and internet. So we have a real huge amount of text files that were created after, say, 1993, 1994, and not as many that were created from the 80s or even the 70s or the 60s. So I was really concerned about that stuff going away. And so I started taking my text file collection, and I started taking text file collections of others and putting it together. When I spoke last year, I had 9,000 text files with a bunch in the inbox. Now I'm at 23,000 text files. I'm not stopping. And luckily, most of the important ones, the ones that people usually think of, are up on there. Now, what I'm talking about today is less about what the history was at that time and more about what it's like to run textfiles.com, because I'm a solid sitting duck target for some very interesting groups of people. And, you know, I figured that'd be somewhat amusing. What I'm doing is I'm actually technically a file archive. I like to think of myself as a librarian. I'm really not writing my own stuff except for to comment on stuff that's already written, or I am putting together things by my own weird little classification system so people can download it quicker. One thing I do find is that people have some very distinct ideas about what they want, so I started putting archives of the sections together, and I can see very quickly what people like. The number one search on my engine is how to make LSD. Every month, 30 to 40 hits, how to make LSD. Now, one of the other things that's very interesting about my site is because I have 23,000 text files currently numbering around 500 or 600 megabytes of text, you get some pretty wacky search matches. So my referral log can really clear your sinuses. Now, I would have preferred just being some quiet little thing off in the corner, you know, doing my little work, bringing it up, making sure people knew about it and sending it out there, but life isn't like that on the internet anymore. In an ideal world, okay, a lot of people come up on panels and speeches like this, and they spend a long time going, I think freedom is very good, and I'd like you all to agree with me. And they spend a lot of time telling you basically that freedom is good. Well, yeah, I believe freedom is very good, too. But what I'm worried about are the people who don't recognize that they're against some things which freedom would actually, you know, cover, because they have their own agenda. One of the little themes that has always gone through bulletin board systems, and it's effective now, are the twin towers of bombs and drugs. As long as bulletin board systems have been in existence, and certainly today, boys, adolescent and older, like to blow shit up and like to smoke shit up.
I like to call that the Beavis and Butthead syndrome.
Yes, exactly. I do understand that. I do have some dark portions of my past. When I was 13 years old, I was busted in my school for selling ASCII pornography. I'm sure you all have similar skeletons in your closet. Basically, we were printing out a file on my system called Angela.art, and we're just printing it and selling it for 50 cents a pop to the highest bidder, whoever wanted it. This was quickly discovered by our crack security force at my school, and I was hauled into the principal's office, and that's where I first really came up against an authority figure where I really didn't think I was wrong on an issue of expression. Basically, he was like, "Do you know how wrong it is of what you're doing?" And I said, "No." And he said, "You know, don't you think this is wrong?" And I said, being an ass, "I see a bunch of letters and numbers, sir. I don't know what you see." I lost it, but I used to have, when I got detention, I had a little slip that said, you know, selling of erotic art images in school or something, or whatever the dumb little trumped up charge was. There was actually another one. I sure learned 2 years later. I'm in my class and there's a call. "Hello, Jason, please come to the main office." And so I come to the main office. There's my mom. There's the principal. There's a man in a suit. This wasn't good. Man in the suit comes out from the, it says, "I'm from the FBI. This is definitely not good. We found out you were selling nitroglycerin plans to kids. 50 cents a pop." Turns out one of the kids had, dad was a cop, dad wasn't pleased, dad found it in his kid's notebook, called the FBI, boom, FBI. FBI said, "Where'd you get this?" I said, "Some board in Illinois, I don't know." And they said, "Okay, don't do that again." Which was surprising, you know, 14, yeah, I figured they could really kick my ass, but they didn't. And why was I doing that? You see, the thing is, when you see kids doing stupid stuff like this, you go, well, why were they doing that? I felt a sense of power. Here I was, I had the magic stuff, the magic recipe, that would blow shit up. It was my power. I didn't have a car. I didn't have, you know, a girlfriend. I had my way. I could blow shit up if I wanted to. I could blow that kid up who's yelling at me. I'm watching you. I could blow you up. You know, and I think that's what you see a lot of. You go, you find these kids, and these kids have 6 billion bomb plans. You're like, what are you doing, you little nut? And it turns out that, I mean, that's, I think that at the core, that's what some of them do. My sight, like I said, that and, of course, drugs. Now, normally I wouldn't have even cared. I wouldn't even, you know, I mean, it's popular and I wouldn't have been bothered with it, but forces have come into play, which I'll talk about later, which actually starts to get in my way. There's so much stuff on my site that were these weird little subcultural things that came back. Let me think of a good one. Real Files, that's one of my favorites. Somebody came out with a file. Are you familiar with the book Real Men Don't Eat Quiche? Yeah, you see, that's the thing. Now the book is kind of fallen. It was published in like 1981. Real Men Don't Eat Quiche. And it was a very easy idea to rip off. Basically, you make this list and you say, real men don't do this, real men don't do this, for humor. Well, obviously, this was an easy thing to rip off of. So the Real Pirate's Guide came out by Rabid Rasta. And they said, this, you know, you real pirates use this, you know, they only pirate off these kind of systems. They pirate, they don't put their name on things they didn't crack, yada yada. This led to people going, the Real Pirate's Guide 2, the Real Freaker's Guide, the Real Anarchist Guide, some really wacky one, the Real Courier's Guide. You know, you have these ones where these people are printing out these files, and eventually there is this weird subcultural group of files that represent something that's really not there anymore in that context. That's what I'm trying to save. When I'm saving the bomb files, I'm saving that cultural need by kids to portray power by going to some library, or better yet, just grabbing the Anarchist Cookbook, copying out a few things, putting their name on it, and going, yeah! And that's, you know, that's what you get. Now, this scares parents, this scares authority figures, because they think these kids are going to make it. And my attitude is, if you like blowing stuff up, go into pyrotechnics, because you will blow up neat stuff for money, you'll get a name for yourself, you'll be in the movies, I mean, you know, you'll lose fingers, but you'll be really, you get these people like, yeah, I'm great at this. So, let's see. Most of, when textfiles.com came out, it was, you know, a lot of people liked it, and I got a lot of thank yous, and I got a lot of people coming up from the shadows who, you know, were really happy. One moment, let me turn this off. Shut up! Anyway. We'll see if they know where I am. Anyway, so...
Take off the bat.
I'm speaking right now. Got to talk to you later. Anyway. Okay. The first major clusterfuck with textfiles.com came on late April last year when a couple kids decided we're going to blow our entire school up. Speaking, of course, of the, let's see, it's had many names. I like Columbine Tragedy, Columbine Event, the... You know, basically, you know, the happy twins going nuts. And what happened was that the satirical forces in our country were well at work, well ahead of schedule. The trenchcoat.org domain was registered 8 hours after the tragedy.
We wouldn't know anything about that.
And a site came up basically with a very satirical look at it. Now, the nature of satire is more biting the sooner it happens. You've had cases in the past. I can think of National Lampoon, where they would actually broadcast the speeches of the president and have somebody sitting there ripping on him as he's talking. You know, it adds some flavor. But at 8 hours afterwards, people didn't like that. So I'll just recount it because you'll feel emotions well up in you when the thing says, you know, a load of bullets, $150, assault rifle, $200, black trench coat, $75, look on your classmates' faces, priceless. And so on. You see, now it's a year later and you're like, oh man, and imagine it's that day. Well, they included a few links, including the Van Heusen, who told them to stop! You know, basically this site had said, oh, go here. Well, they linked to me. The way that I found this out was one morning I woke up and, being the nerd that I am, checked my referrer logs, mostly because my hits had really grown. You know, I mean, it was like, well, I got a bit of a hit. Usually that means, oh, I got slashdotted or somebody pointed out to me somewhere else. Well, I'm getting all these hits from trenchcoat.org, and I'm thinking, oh, no, what has happened? So I go to trenchcoat.org, and I'm leafing through it, and I'm like, ooh. Oh, so at the bottom, it helpful.